This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. Holy Trinity Sunday. First posted May 11th, 2008. Genesis 1:1-2:3. God the Creator. Psalm 29. God of the Storm. Deuteronomy 4:32-34. 39-40. No other God. To Corinthians 13:11-14. Benediction. Matthew 28:16-20. The Great Commission. Genesis paraphrase. This universe has been created from watery chaos by the Word of God. God's first act was to call light into existence. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. Genesis 1:4. God called the light day, and the darkness night. Morning became evening, the end of the first day. Jews considered the day to begin at evening. God called forth the firmament. The heavens were considered to be a dome in the midst of waters, to separate the waters above from the waters below. God called the firmament heaven, and the second day ended. God commanded the waters below to be gathered together and for a land to appear, and it happened. God called the land earth, and the waters seas. God examined His work and found that it was good. God commanded the land to bring forth all sorts of plants, yielding all kinds of seed and fruits according to their kind. God saw that the results were good, and the third day ended. God commanded there to be lights in the heavens to separate day from night, and as signs for direction, to indicate seasons, days, and years, to give light on earth, and to separate light from darkness, and it happened as God had commanded. God created two main lights, the sun to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night. God also created the stars. God found the result good, and the fourth day ended. God commanded the waters to bring forth swarms of living creatures, and winged creatures to fly in the air above. God created every living creature, great and small. The result was good in God's judgment, and He blessed the creatures He had made and told them to multiply and fill the earth. The fifth day ended. On the sixth day God commanded the land to bring forth every kind of land animal, and the result was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." Genesis 1:26. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. Genesis 1:27. God blessed mankind and commanded them to multiply and fill and subdue the earth and have dominion over all the creatures God had made. God gave mankind and all creatures every kind of plant, seed, and fruit, according to their kind, for food. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1:31. The sixth day ended. All the work of creation was ended, and God rested on the seventh day from the work of creation. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed, made holy, set apart for God's purpose, the seventh day. Genesis 2:3. Psalm paraphrase, "Let all beings in heaven and on earth acknowledge the glory and strength of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord and worship Him in holiness. The voice of the Lord is like thunder upon the waters. The Lord's voice is powerful and majestic. His voice shatters cedars of Lebanon. He makes the mountains of Lebanon and Sirion, Mount Hermon, leap like frisky young wild animals. The voice of the Lord flashes forth like lightning bolts, and shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord is like a mighty windstorm, which causes mighty oaks to bend and whirl and strips the trees of the forest. In His temple His people give Him glory. The Lord is enthroned and reigns eternally above the flood. Pray that the Lord will bless His people with strength and peace." Deuteronomy paraphrase, "Has there ever at any time in history been a people whose God has done such great things for them as God has done for His people, Israel? Has any other people ever heard the voice of God speak to them out of the midst of fire as the Israelites heard, and lived to tell about it?" Acts 20:18-26. "Has the God of any other nation ever brought His nation out from domination by another nation, with great and terrifying supernatural demonstrations of power, as the Lord did for the Israelites in Egypt, as they had witnessed? Therefore know, acknowledge and remember always, that the Lord is God in heaven and on earth, and there is no other. Therefore we must keep his commandments so that we and our children can thrive and prosper and enjoy long life in the land the Lord has given us for eternity. 2 Corinthians paraphrase, at the end of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, he urged them to heed his teaching and change their ways, and to live peacefully with one another, so that the God of peace will be with them. Christians should greet one another with love as family members. Paul prayed that by the grace of Jesus Christ they would experience the fellowship and love of God the Father, through their sharing in the indwelling Holy Spirit. The 11 disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, went to the mountain in Galilee as Jesus had commanded them, Matthew 28 minutes and 10 seconds. There the disciples saw Jesus and worshipped him, although some had doubts. Jesus came to them and told them that he had been given all authority in heaven and on earth, Matthew 11:27a, Luke 10:22a, Ephesians 1:20-22. Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, and teaching them observe I obey all that Jesus had commanded his disciples, and as they did so, Jesus promised to be with them always, to the close of the age, Matthew 28:20b, the second coming, the day of judgment. Commentary, God is Spirit, and God's Spirit was above and in authority over the storm of watery chaos, Genesis 1:2. This universe has been created by the Word of God, for God's specific purpose. God has always intended, from the beginning of creation, to establish an eternal kingdom of his people who willingly trust and obey his word. When God speaks, what he commands happens. He could command us to trust and obey him, and we would have no choice but to comply. But God wants us to have the freedom to choose whether or not to trust and obey him, and whether or not to live in his eternal kingdom. God is God of heaven and earth, whether we acknowledge him or not. But God is not willing to tolerate rebellion and disobedience forever. This universe and we individually are limited by time. This lifetime is our opportunity to seek and find God, and to learn by trial and error to trust and obey him. This world was created by God and was very good as created. The evil and sin that mark creation are the result of disobedience of God's word and doing what is bad in God's judgment, as a result of giving us free will. God knew that if he gave us freedom to choose whether or not to obey him, we would choose to do our will rather than his. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's righteousness, Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-10, and the penalty for sin is eternal death, Romans 6:23. God has designed this creation to provide for our salvation from sin and eternal condemnation, to be received by faith, obedient trust in Jesus Christ, God's one and only provision for our forgiveness and salvation, Acts 4:12, John 14:6, see God's plan of salvation, sidebar, top right. Jesus has been designed and built into creation from the very beginning, John 1:1-5:14. God's Spirit reigned over the watery chaos at creation and he reigns over the universe now. God's Word thundered over the watery chaos at creation and wrought his will, which was very good, and God's Word reigns now over the universe created by the Word of God. God reigns over the storms of life, and is able to give his people strength and peace in the midst of the storm and flood of this life. The Bible, the Word of God, is the history of God's purpose of creation and his dealing with his people. God's Word reveals that he is good, faithful, and powerful. The history of God's deliverance of Israel from bondage to sin and death in Egypt is deliberately intended to be a parable, a metaphor for a life in this temporal world. Jesus is the new Moses, who frees us from slavery to sin and death, through the sea of our baptism into Christ, and leads us through the wilderness of this lifetime, through the river of physical death, and into the eternal, promised land of God's eternal kingdom in heaven. God has revealed himself in the biblical history as the one and only true God of heaven and earth. God is Spirit. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God in human flesh. Jesus is the fulfillment, embodiment, and example of God's Word lived out in human flesh in this world in perfect obedience, John 1:1-5:14. The Holy Spirit is the fullest revelation of God the Father, and Jesus Christ, to us personally and individually. Only Jesus gives the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9-11, 15-16. Through the indwelling Holy Spirit we have personal knowledge of and fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. The Bible records the great things God has done for His people in the past, and the great things God has promised to do for His people in the future. The characteristic which identifies God's Word is its fulfillment, Deuteronomy 18:21-22, God's Word always is fulfilled, and because it is eternal it is fulfilled over and over as the conditions for its fulfillment are met. As we begin to trust and obey God's Word in Jesus Christ, we will personally experience the great things God has done, is doing, and will do in the future for us. We must learn and remember what God has done for us, as recorded in the Bible, and what we have experienced personally. We must learn and remember His commandments in His Word, so that we and our children can thrive and prosper spiritually now, and forever in God's heavenly kingdom. Paul was discipling the Corinthian congregation. He was teaching them to know and apply the teaching and example of Jesus Christ. Paul was teaching them that if they wanted the promises of God they had to trust and obey God's word. If they wanted God's peace, they must live peaceably with one another. Paul's prayer for them was that by the grace, unmerited favor, we can receive through faith, obedient trust, in Jesus Christ, we would experience the fellowship and love of God the Father, through participation, sharing, in the indwelling Holy Spirit. Paul's benediction manifests the Trinitarian doctrine, the Holy Trinity. God is Father, Son and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, expressions. Salvation is not deserved or earned, it is the free gift of God to all who are willing to receive it by faith, obedient trust, in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:8-10. If we receive God's grace through Jesus Christ by obedient trust, we will receive the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, through whom Jesus will manifest Himself to us personally and individually, John 14:21, and through whom we will experience the love and fellowship of God the Father. Born again, Christians personally experience and testify to the truth and reality of the Holy Trinity. Jesus' last instructions to His disciples, before He ascended into heaven, was to wait in Jerusalem until they had been born again by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5, 8, and then to make disciples, teaching them to trust and obey Jesus, and baptizing them in the name of God, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Today is the day the Church celebrates the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, expressions. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but the doctrine is found throughout the Old and New Testaments. It was taught by Jesus to His disciples, John 14:15-17, Matthew 28:19, and by His disciples to the Church, as recorded in the New Testament, Romans 8:9-14:14. Appropriately, Trinity Sunday follows the day of Pentecost, which commemorates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Church, since, born again, Christians personally experience God, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Is Jesus your Lord? Matthew 7:21-23, Luke 6:46. Are you Jesus' disciple? John 8:31. Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? John 14:21. Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 19:2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14.